I hope this sounds okay. I really hope this sounds okay. And I bet, Sammy, you can probably hear all of this. Ignore it. Or I could leave you secrets. Sammy's back. Shh.
Oh my gosh. So I have something really funny to tell you that just happened this morning. We've been trying to avoid this, but so for those of you that don't know, producer Ian, very patient man, love of my life, is a media director at a church, and he signs into his Spotify account at the house, like while he's also at work and stuff. So they use it to like listen to just kind of, you know, the mingling music before church starts and stuff. But that means I've got the accounts at home that also like all of our gadgets are signed into it. Oh, and God. Thankfully it wasn't that bad.
Oh God.
But
what started playing at the church, Tess?
John Denver, of all things. So at least it was boomer music, but I like realized it and I was like texting him, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I mean,
he's told me so many times not to do that. And like, it was not my fault. I did not realize it was like, why would that box be checked of all boxes? Like, I mean, why would I ever want to control the music over there from here?
At least it wasn't like Missy Elliott's new album or something, which
like,
is
drop
like
it, drop it low, drop it, drop
super
it, drop
full
it
of profanity.
Right. Oh my God. But, oh my God. That would have been just even more hysterical than it was. But yeah, that happened this morning. So good morning. Happy Sunday.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Although by the time everybody gets this, it will be Monday. It'll be next Sunday that this comes out.
Perfect. So happy Sunday.
So happy Sunday. And happy Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
Because when this comes out, it'll be right in the midst of Labor Day weekend. So
nice. Take a load off because, you know, we're going to have to go into the rest of the year now. We got to, you know, we've got Halloween. We have Thanksgiving. We got to start saving up for, you know, Christmas.
The best quarter of the year is ahead of
Christmas
us.
Christmas Kwanzaa.
Yes. You know. Also, don't forget that after this weekend, you can no longer wear white.
That's
true. It's illegal to wear white after Labor Day, or so I'm told.
I'm breaking the law, breaking the law, because I got a lot of great white dresses I can wear to the fall, so.
Tessie, you and breaking laws, I swear.
Not all of them, just some of them.
Just some of them.
So.
So what's new with you other than, you know, ruining church for all the churchgoers this morning?
So
I mean, at least it was
sorry.
John Denver, but still.
Exactly. At least it was Take Me Home Country Road. And they were like, okay. But he texts me back. He's like, it was you.
Okay.
But other than that, you know, not too much. Not too many. We finally finished the bar. The infamous bar in the backyard is sealed and usable now. So thank you, Mom, for your help.
I'm going to want pictures because it looked really pretty the last time you showed it to me. So I want to see what the finished product looks like.
Looks really nice. All nice and glossy and sealed now. So I can like get it wet and it doesn't matter. So
very cool.
So that's pretty cool. What's new with you?
I did decide to go to that convention in Atlanta. I'm actually saving a lot of money because I'm driving instead of flying because it's like a 5.5 hour drive, which really isn't that bad. And then my car, I drive a Miata, so it's like it gets really good gas mileage. It costs me $20, especially down here. Gas prices are like $2 a gallon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sammy is officially the person that goes to the store and is like, oh my God, buy one, get one half off. I can get another one for half off. But you know what? You could also save money by not buying another one.
But I want to go to this. I haven't been to one in a while, so I wanted to go. But
well, good for you.
So it's like it's cheap for me to drive, and I'm staying with a bunch of friends in an Airbnb, so I'm saving money there as well. So,
right.
So if any of you guys listening are, by the time this comes out, are at Dragon Con in Atlanta, try to find me and say hi, because yeah. I'm finding out more and more that people I don't know listen to this podcast.
Heck yeah. So look for Sammy, man. Look for Sammy. Go reach out to us. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
you need
that'd
to bring
be really
some business
cool.
cards with you.
Yes,
spread the
yes,
word.
I will bring all the business cards with me, all yes. the ones that I have left. So, and then other than that, things are going smoothly on the house. We are, we've locked in the like mortgage rate. And
great.
We're waiting on the appraisal right now. So, you know, things are moving smoothly. And they said that it looks like we're on track to close on September 20th. So,
yay!
I'm really hoping, fingers crossed, that, you know, I'll be moved in or starting to move in, you know, by the beginning of October.
That's so exciting. You'll have your new Halloween party in your new place.
I know. I'm hoping.
Yay.
I'm hoping so
hopefully.
Much.
Hopefully. Yeah, everybody, let's think really, really good thoughts for Sammy. So
let's put that out into the universe, pin it on the vision board, whatever you yes. want to say. But yeah, let's hope that I am in my new house sometime in October. That would
gonna
be
make it
magic.
Happen. Yay!
All right. Well, are you ready to flip the penny?
I am. I am. Let's see. So I went first last time. So you picked the penny this time.
Okay.
Shaking.
Heads.
It's tails. Hey.
Oh, you get to go first.
I do.
Without,
oh my
without
gosh.
Us cheating.
Oh my gosh. Finally. The cards worked in my favor.
Okay. I'm excited because you've been talking this one up for literally weeks now because you've been saying, oh, I've got a funny one. I've got a funny one. And then last week you're like, I didn't want to do the funny one anymore.
Exactly. So, well, I still want to do the funny one, but I got a little bit more information on it and stuff.
Okay.
So this will be a lot of fun though. I get to start with some catharsis, guys. Let's talk it out. Okay. So from kindergarten to fifth grade, I had a bully, right? So,
okay.
And like, who didn't, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Even bullies would probably say, like, I had a bully between that time, right?
Probably. Possibly.
So, possibly. In some cases. We'll see. So, we're going to get a little cathartic, though, okay? So,
okay,
I remember
yes.
one time this girl and I, like, we've known each other since we were in kindergarten, and it just had always been, a problem. She would do stuff like, I would probably have deserved some of the things that she did, but you know, at the time I was a sweetheart. Why would you do
of
that
course.
To me? Right. Okay.
Of
so,
course.
I mean, there was like one time in particular, we were eating lunch over by the playground. I promise I'm going somewhere with this guys. we were eating lunch over by the playground and stuff. And she just like reached over, just smacked the heck out of me. Great girl. Right. Okay. But not long after that, like, remember in your playground area, there was always an electrical box because apparently playgrounds and electricity, that's just like the hangout for kids.
I don't specifically remember an electrical box. I probably did, but I never like paid attention to it because I couldn't climb on it or play on it. So,
well, you weren't supposed to, and they would tell us to like get off of it. So everybody liked to hang around it, right?
We had propane tanks that everybody would like climb on and, you know, play on, which also probably wasn't
okay.
Safe.
Hank Hill,
I'm sorry. Everybody uses propane up in the Midwest. I can't help it.
So anyway, so we in the over by like the kindergarten area of my elementary school, there were these huge electrical like transformers. I mean, they were bigger than what is normally considered like the hangout spot for
right.
like millennials and children of children ages. And so, but these things, they were really tall and they had like birds could perch on top of them. Right.
Okay.
And well, one day we were over in that area and it was like a little bit long, little couple weeks after she had, you know, unleashed hell on my face open-handed while I was innocently minding my own business eating a sandwich. Hey, you know, you never realize that when people say there I was minding my own business are never minding their own business ever.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so she got pooped on. Long story short, all up in her hair. And she had this like really curly blonde hair. And
oh,
like,
no.
At the time, I probably relished in it. And now I'm so sorry. Like, we'll call her, let's give her a name.
Since we're going with like Hank Hill, let's just call her Peggy.
Okay, we'll call her Peggy. Perfect. Curly hair. So Peggy got bird crap all up in her hair and she had to go wash it out. It was like quite the art project in the bathroom to try to get her out of her hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like to think that my own personal FBI agent did me a favor long before I knew I had one. Thanks, bro.
Ma'am. Do you still have that tape over your camera?
For ma'am. No, that, actually, that I realized that it tape. Doesn't work anymore because clearly we're Skyping through the scotch tape. No, I got rid of it a long time ago. But little did I know, this was my first encounter with the cold, hard facts that birds aren't real.
Oh, I've heard about this conspiracy and I'm I don't know much about it, but I've definitely seen the memes about it.
Yes.
I'm excited to talk about this.
So this started with the creation of the CIA in 1947.
Okay.
When Alan Dulles was made the first civilian director and made it his mission to ramp up surveillance despite previously finding little to no criminal activity through the CIA. Like they've been trying for a while looking for criminal activity and they're like, ah, civilians really aren't that cool. They're kind of boring.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
we kind of are. Yep.
But then on April 15th, 1956, he met with Eisenhower and proposed a plan to put cameras up in the sky, basically Google Maps before it was like way before its time, but private and only for the government to watch you play with your peanut action figures as you make the Red Baron dive bomb into the side of Charlie Brown's schoolhouse over and over and over again, right? No.
Once again, speaking from experience, huh, Tess?
Maybe.
See, I didn't have Peanuts action figures. I had the Raisinettes. Or, whoa, no, not the Raisinettes. The California Raisins. That's what they were.
Let's all go to the snack bar. Those are creepy. I had
California Raisins and I had Fraggle Rock action figures.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had Rocky and Bullwinkle. I had a lot of hand-me-downs at that age, actually.
Gotcha. Yeah, see, I was the oldest, so I didn't have hand-me-downs. Well, yeah. I didn't have a lot of hand-me-downs. I think I still got some from my cousins, but still.
Well, basically, it was much easier to track people with one camera than several. It was like, how could we, you know, if somebody's, you know, walking, you know, across one block and then down through one block and then through another door and through another door, it was easier rather than looking through, like, different traffic cameras, then they could just have one eye in the sky, right? You know, very Big Brother.
Right, right.
Well, Eisenhower was a huge fan of Big Brother. Watched on CBS all the time, and he approved the plan to and sent Dulles to go figure out a real proposal to put in motion. And they say it was figured out over a boys' weekend of, you know, in the hills of Vermont, I'm sure, in May of 1956. And it's reported Dulles and his friends hated birds with a passion because they had just exploded. The economy was good at the time. People felt more comfortable feeding the pigeons and therefore, you know, they bred like pigeons.
Yeah.
But that means that people, like everybody's cars were constantly covered in bird poop and they were just fed up with it. They're like, how the heck do we put an eye in the sky and get rid of the birds? Kill multiple birds with as many stones and just replace them with these robot birds, right?
Okay. Yeah.
With as many robotic stones. A stolen manuscript from an ex-CIA deputy who says she was so annoyed the birds have been dropping fecal matter on their car windows that they vowed to wipe out every single feathered creature in North America.
Oh, boy.
And whether this theory is true or not, it seems like they're well on their way to doing that anyway.
Ugh, fair. I mean, they wiped out all the passenger pigeons back in, like, the late 1800s. So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's bird that went extinct within the last, like, 100 years, so.
It's possible. They've been working on it for even longer than the CIA, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Anyway, at this meeting, they devised a plan to replace all the birds with those high-tech versions of themselves that looked and acted just like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Dulles was given the task to reallocate $65 billion of public health funds toward the forced extinction of the birds. I mean, $1 billion in the 50s. Like, that's insane.
I wonder what that is in today's money.
That's a good question.
I'll look it up.
Go for it. So he met with an unidentified man from Boeing and ordered 120 B-52 bombers. He devised a plan to construct the aircraft in Area 51 so the citizens of Seattle wouldn't be able to claim that the airplanes had been built nearby if the government were exposed. So they were like, they can't say, oh my God, they were built right here. Like, no. We didn't build it anywhere near you guys. It was like, you know, way down here in Nevada, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently... The 23 men with no families or connections to the rest of the world who were sent to Area 51 didn't get the memo about being discreet because they were seen at every gas station on their old traveling bus with Area 51 or bust emblazoned on the side. They just attracted a ton of attention. They were known for singing on the side of the road. Like, it was very strange. But at the time, people, they would, like, you know, it was the 50s. Mm-hmm. If you were to say that to somebody, they didn't understand what that meant now. So mm-hmm. why would they say anything about it?
Okay, so I looked up the inflation calculator. $1 billion in 1950 would be about $10.5 billion in today's money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's like, oh, that's over a trillion. Isn't that like $6 trillion at that point? I don't know. I don't math well.
No, it doesn't become trillion until it becomes like 999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999,999, So yeah. It's like an extra like.
But if there's
990 million or billion.
If there's 65 billion.
Is that how much it said?
Yeah. Yeah. 65 billion.
Oh. I thought you just said 1 billion. No, my bad.
65.
65 billion. That's so much money.
That's so much money.
That is so much money. In 1950.
Yes. And like 1956.
Okay. Let me put that in exactly and we'll find out exactly. Let's see. 60 billion. No.
Wow.
That's no. No. That can't be right. 1, 2, 3. 607 billion. My bad.
Wow. Well, anyway, ridiculous amount of money to kill the birds. So, well, 23.
Can you just imagine? That sounds like. I don't like to take political sides, but that sounds like the sort of thing that the Trump administration would do. Here's $607 billion to wipe out birds.
To be fair, there is a Space Force that's going to debut, sometime this week?
Sometime this week. But I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like a headline. Absolutely. You could see in 2019. Trump administration approves $607 billion project to eliminate birds.
Just take them out. I mean, technically he did lower the endangerment, qualifications on bald eagles. So.
I
know,
I'm sorry. I just, I said, I don't like to get on political grandstands, but that just,
yep.
it sounds like a 2019
but it's
headline.
Possible. Exactly.
Oh God.
Ridiculous, but possible. You know what reminds me? I was actually out on the road recently and I saw a Prius that was driving ahead of me and I saw a huge black cloud of exhaust just belch out the back of it. I'm like, that's kind of allegorical, isn't it?
That's very strange.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
Anyway, so while these 23 men left for Nevada, one did not make it there.
Oh.
He was left in a Waffle House bathroom somewhere on the road trip because he had to pee too many times and was, quote, ruining the vibe of the road trip. I'll give Sammy a second.
That's not me, but I have a lot of friends like that are like the
bird
like,
bladder.
Yeah, they've got like the bladder the size of a grape.
Well, they and were like, we're leaving you behind.
And the fact that they're leaving them behind in a Waffle House bathroom, like, I don't know if you've ever been in a Waffle House. They're really gross. Like anybody in California who's never been to the South and who's never been to a Waffle House, they think of Denny's, but so much more like down home, dirty, sort of greasy spoon sort of thing. But it's a chain restaurant of greasy spoons. And I mean, they've earned their name, the Awful House. But I still love them, yeah. But you know,
so
but,
they so left him behind. They were
the
like,
okay,
we're done with you. We're just done. So these guys are tasked with making the new version of the B-52, the B-52B. The second B stood for bird, of course, and the new version would have 450-gallon water tanks in place of the bomb compartments. It was very hard to redesign, but they accomplished it. It took 2 years to build the bombers, but once they were finished, all the guys went home.
Uh-huh.
But their bus was intercepted as they reached their destination and they were all drafted where Dulles hoped they died.
Okay.
Some of them were captured, but no one was really ever heard from since.
So the 22 guys, because the 23rd got left in a bathroom. 22 guys spent how many years? Two years. 2 years, yep. Developing a bird bomber.
Yep. And then they were just shipped off to Vietnam to go disappear because then they didn't have families or anything. So they were like, whatever. No one's going
to
miss you.
Nobody's going to miss you. Let's just ship you off to Nam so that we can cover up our bird bomber.
Yep. That's how the story goes. Anyway, so the tanks were filled with a bird poison that was only effective above 8,000 feet and would dissolve before it would hit the ground. So it would only affect the birds that it's stuck to in the air.
Okay.
And then the poison would give the bird a virus that it would then spread to its other, like, feathered buddies and
like
stuff.
Like bird flu?
Yeah. And the total decomposition of the birds would occur in 24 hours so that there wouldn't even be any trace left of them. It was just gone. It was just the birds gone. There's no evidence of it anymore. So we can't. That's why it's a conspiracy, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
right,
we would know.
Right. This is kind of like, this kind of harkens back to chemtrails.
Exactly.
Only the chemicals, instead of being mind-controlling chemicals, they're bird-dissolving chemicals.
Exactly.
Okay.
So over 6 years, somewhere between 1959 to 1976, they flew these planes around and simultaneously replaced them with the new bird prototypes, which were released by the millions at the same time.
Okay, so that nobody'd notice that they'd gone missing.
Exactly. So JFK, though, the sitting president, was not aware of this at the time, and neither were the guys flying the planes. They were just flying around doing pilot stuff. Or just, I don't know, they told me to go here and drop some stuff. I just do things.
I mean, speaking as somebody who's in the military, they don't tell us anything. Most of the time we're just like, we're just going and we're performing a mission. We don't know what we're doing most of the time.
Don't know what you're doing. So Kennedy eventually figured it out, though, and the theorist alleges he was killed because he refused to be involved in the project and tried to end it.
Mm-hmm.
They even tried to pitch him the Turkey X-500, which was a bird-killing machine, but he was not into it. And they killed him anyway. Sorry, Sammy.
I'm sorry.
Making him cry.
The Turkey X-500. That's going in the title. I don't
care. It better.
The Turkey X-500, that is...
It's a prototype.
I mean, that sounds like something off of, like, a kid's cartoon show, specifically the Thanksgiving episode. Like, it sounds like something Dr. Doofenshmirtz created in Phineas and Ferb for the Thanksgiving episode.
Or like an episode of Robot Chicken or something.
Yeah, yeah. The Turkey X-500. Oh my God. Okay.
But believe it or not, it was actually Truman, two presidents before Kennedy, who started pardoning turkeys around Thanksgiving. I was kind of surprised that it wasn't like Kennedy that started that, but it was actually Truman.
Okay.
But now elections are rigged so that only presidents who agree with the program are elected. So they're like, you know, if you don't agree, you're not going to get elected.
Of course. Of course.
It's rigged.
Yeah.
But I digress. This is where the theory actually starts to get kind of weird.
Okay.
There was a secret six-minute recording.
Okay.
This, right here. This. This is there's a secret six-minute recording of a meeting on July 2nd in 1964 between unknown people discussing the Operation Water the Country, which was the bird bombing operation, and a need for a heavy amount of bauxite, the chief commercial ore of aluminum, which is needed for building robots and lots of them, especially of the bird variety. They said in the recording the birds had started to disappear for about 2 years, and if they had they had to start replacing them before people started to notice. They were like, we're kind of falling behind here, guys. We got to start pumping out, you know, more of these birds, but we don't have any more of this bauxite. Well, then about a month after the meeting, a North Vietnamese torpedo boat was accused of attacking the U.S. destroyer in the Gulf of Tonkin, which is what got us into, you know, putting more troops into Vietnam.
Right.
That did happen.
Yeah.
But it's widely believed that that was fake. It was an excuse for the U.S. to place a huge number of troops in Vietnam to engage in the North Vietnamese on a much more escalated platform.
Okay.
But the nation of Vietnam has the most bauxite ore on the planet. Without it, there would be no more robot birds.
Oh.
So was Vietnam all about robot birds?
So we started the Vietnam War just so that we could continue to wipe out the population of birds and replace them with spy bots.
Yes, that was the point, according to this theory. But who built all the new birds, right?
Now
so
there's the
like,
question.
We've been dumping these things out, right? But we can't even, like, there's a chance our iPhones are, like, covered in radiation or the birds, right? So where do these things come from? Wouldn't those people have talked, too?
Well, not to mention, drones just became a thing, like, recently, and they're still kind of crappy.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to get to those, too. So... But when those people have talked, the theory goes, though, that the government would send individuals to local nightclubs and bars who would then scope out a candidate who looked like they would assemble a robot bird, get them super wasted on acid in a bottle of water, and then their acid trip would take them on a little road trip where they would be forced to listen to Pink Floyd nonstop, plus building robot birds. I mean, that is the trip of a lifetime, man. And then who would believe you?
I'm going to die. I'm going to die on this episode. This is going to be the last episode that has Sammy and Tessa. It's just going to be Tessa from here on out because I'm going to choke to death laughing. This is the best thing I have ever heard. Ever.
I told you. Well, eventually the program changed hands and there was a new head of the CIA under President Gerald Ford. And they sent the whole team home because it wasn't as productive as it was supposed to be. Like all the bird builders, the bombers and everything, they were like, nope, we're going to start from scratch. And because there was only 26% of the birds had been replaced at that point. Okay. And they were supposed to be 35% higher.
Okay.
It was supposed to be like way beyond that. So they hired a new team, but it turned out to be a really big mistake because one of those guys, the first guys, spilled the beans, which led to the widespread conspiracy today. And also, how do the birds just stay in the U.S. and not fly out of bounds into like Mexico or Canada? Well, they are programmed that way to stay here.
Yeah, well, I figured they wouldn't have too intelligent of AI, so.
Exactly. So there are some that are programmed across borders to watch for drug and sex trafficking. But since the robots intermingle with other real birds, we have no control over the real birds. So our population will never be 100% robot in North America. They're like, we're always going to have birds flying in from other places.
Right.
So that's why you're still going to get your car pooped on.
Yeah.
So not all birds are
fake. Only
the
American birds are fake.
Exactly. American birds are fake. So I have even some photos to show you.
Oh, God, yes.
Proof that birds are not real. I'll show you. Let's see. Let me get set up here. Exhibit A is this guy here with his many legs. They just gave up after a while.
Oh, that's kind of gross looking.
Let's see.
I'm assuming that's like the babies.
It is. I'm sure it is. But that's still hysterical.
It is.
Also, I mean, have you seen a bird's tongue?
It is kind of weird how long their tongues are. Where do they go? And apparently this
crazy.
Is saying that they're up in the nasal cavities. But
they
okay.
are. They are. I mean, look at this guy. Just surveiling. Just out walking. Look at him. What is he into? What's going on? Okay, look at this. The bionic seagull takes flight in Beijing. They're not even being coy about it anymore.
they're just like, they're robots, guys.
Yep, exactly. And then look at this. Oh, if it'll play. This bird, you guys may have seen this. It's that gif of that bird that's just like sitting there like a gorilla, like up on its wings. Like what? Total malfunction. 404 error, bird not found. Like just strange.
I haven't seen that. That's really creepy looking.
It's very, very strange, right?
Okay.
So, but now I'm going to burst your bubble. Now that you guys are good and lubed up, I'm going to burst your bubble. Because if I've convinced you now that birds aren't real, it's all bull. It's all crap. It's all bird poop.
Bird poop. It's all bird poop.
You can look it up for yourself. It is a really good read, and I covered the gist of it, but please give yourself some time to head over to birdsaren'treal.com and read their history page. It's very, very funny. This theory was actually started back in 2017 by then 20-year-old Peter McIndoe, an English and philosophy major at the University of Memphis in Tennessee. He first started the page at his city's Women's March. And there is a lot of merchandising around this, which is mostly what he's about. That's kind of what this theory is about. The theory got a lot of traction after the Chicago-based journalist Robert Lorzel tweeted a photo of the Birds Aren't Real flyer that he found in the street. The same flyer has also popped up on Reddit a lot and eventually created an entire subreddit dedicated to it. His Instagram has over 137,000 followers, among other social media that's also really popular. And obviously, you know, he sells a lot of merchandise, which is banking on the conspiracy craze. And so I can't really tell if he's a jerk or a genius in this sense. I mean,
okay, if you want my honest opinion, I think he's a jerk because first of all, I have to ask, is he a white man?
Yes.
Okay. Leave it to a white man to go to a women's march and start a conspiracy about birds aren't real.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that just once again, I'm getting on, you know, my woke millennial like soapbox, but this is, that just seems like such a white male thing to do, is let's detract from a march about women's rights and women's activism and make it about robot birds. That exactly. That just screams white male.
Exactly. Attention. Give me attention.
What do you mean this isn't about me? Let's make this about me or something that I created. So
exactly.
Kind of makes me mad, honestly.
But I'm going to make you feel a little bit better, guys, okay. though. So if you want to make the world a better place and keep the birds that are very real and alive and well today, please donate to the American Bird Conservancy at abcbirds.org. Their goal over the past 20 years has been to conserve birds and their habitats across the Americas in the Western Hemisphere, which benefits everybody. I don't have to tell you that. So we are not paid or encouraged to mention this. I just thought if I was going to cover a conspiracy that's obviously fake, that we would use it to do a little good. So, put a bird feeder in your backyard. It's, save the bees, save the birds, the bees. We need those to make babies.
You said it was abcbirds.com?
abcbirds.org.
Oh, .org. Yes. Okay. Hang on. I want to go there right now. So I'm thinking, if it's okay with you, maybe we could donate this month's Patreon earnings to abcbirds.org.
Let's do it.
Since we're going to talk about it anyway.
Let's do it.
So there you go, guys. That way we're not just preaching, we're practicing what we preach as well. We're going to donate this month's Patreon earnings to abcbirds.org.
Absolutely.
So maybe you guys can take action too.
But we'd love that, especially with everything that's going on around the world right now. We need all the good positivity and activism that we can get. So
yes, we do.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, it's Sammy's turn.
Yep, my turn. All right, so we're back, but Tess, you said you forgot to mention something, so go ahead.
I said I was going to touch briefly on the drone thing, right? So back in 2017, I remember reading an article about a number of European agencies, including the Dutch, who had started training eagles and other birds of prey to snatch drones out of the air as a defense against criminals, terrorists, or any other drone pilots who accidentally, invade restricted airspace.
And
what if they figured us out? What if I wouldn't want American bird drones over my city, right? These days. But the eagle birds, I just think that's so cool that they could train eagles to just snatch these things out of the air.
Eagles and hawks and stuff like that and ravens are exceptionally intelligent birds, even crows. They're everybody always just thinks, birds are really stupid because they've got tiny little, peanut sized brains, but they're actually they're exceptionally intelligent, you can train them to do a lot of things ravens and crows. They can even recognize somebody who's been mean to them and they'll tell all their friends to watch out for that person as well. It's insane how intelligent some birds are. And then you've got things like pigeons who are just, the rats of the sky.
Just crazy.
And they're just kind of dumb.
Yeah. But I mean, pigeons are pretty smart too. My grandfather, when he lived in Holland, used to raise and race them. And
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
pigeons.
And I mean,
oh, yeah.
You have to think about messenger pigeons that, carried messages back and forth, or carrier pigeons, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You kind of always. They've got that bad reputation of being, dumb, dirty birds, dumb, dirty birdies, but they're actually kind of intelligent. So
anyway,
on to my cryptid. So we've talked about a lot of strange creatures on this podcast. We've talked about the amalgamation of weird that is the Jersey Devil, the Mothman of Point Pleasant, and the infamous Bigfoot. But today we're going to talk about a lesser known bipedal cryptid, native to the Pacific Northwest region surrounding Mount St. Helens, but also coming as far south as Mount Shasta in Redding, California.
Ooh, I've been near there.
Yeah, well, I think we all have. At least the two of us have.
That's true. All of us in this general chat region.
We're going to learn about bat squatch today.
Ooh.
Have you heard about bat squatch before?
I haven't. Please regale me.
Okay. So sightings of flying humanoid creatures began not long after the massive eruption of Mount St. Helens on May 18th of 1980. Many people believe that the eruption not only caused major changes in the environment surrounding the volcano, but that it may have also awakened an ancient evil creature. Yes. A sighting was made of a purplish-tinged humanoid creature with glowing red eyes, bat-like wings, and a distorted bat-like face. The creature was described as definitely malevolent and savage-seeming. This creature quickly became or came to be known as Bat Squatch. I love the name. I just, you know, it's so unoriginal, but I love it anyway.
It's like Pizzagate. Like, guys, you know, gate isn't synonymous with scandal or like, you know, like Watergate.
Yeah.
Like it's the name of a hotel.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, Bat Squatch.
So Bat Squatch is said to be about 9 feet tall or more. So he's a, you know, very tall creature. It's a tall creature. I need to stop gendering these cryptids that, you know, we don't know what they are.
It's true. How dare you assume?
I need to stop doing that. I really do. Like, all joking aside, I need to stop gendering these creatures. They have glowing yellow or red eyes, just depending on the account. A wolf or bat-like face, which bats do kind of have a wolfish face, just in a very, you know, minuscule form. But they're kind of...
flying foxes are so cute. Yeah.
But they're, you know, they kind of got a wolf or fox-like face, so I guess I could see that. Bluish fur and purple skin, so kind of, you know.
Sully?
I guess. No, that's kind of teal. Where it came
from, or so help me.
I feel like that's more teal.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know.
Okay.
They have sharp teeth, bird-like feet, massive bat-like leathery wings that have a wingspan of up to 50 feet. That's a big wingspan. That's like a
big bat. Yeah.
That's like literally from one side of a road to the other.
Woo.
That's
crazy.
Big. An ape-like body. They're bipedal, so they stand on 2 feet. And a loud, deep, bass-like yell. So, you know, just a big, low, guttural
just shout, growl.
Yell, or roar. I don't know why the word roar escaped me for so long, but it did. Until right then. So getting into the sightings, the first official sighting of Bat Squatch, which there were some sightings in, like, you know, right around 1980, but they weren't like in depth enough for me to really talk about. It was just like, you know, people reported sightings, and that was all I could find was, hey, people reported sightings of a giant flying bipedal creature. Okay.
Great.
But the first actual, like, really well-described sighting comes from April 19th of 1994. So where were you in 1994?
I think I was
5, maybe. Wait, how old are you now?
28. I was born in 91.
Okay, 28.
We just dated ourselves.
So I'm 4 years older than you. So if you were, I was 7 in 94. Really? Was I 7? Yeah, I guess. Okay. So I was, you know, little baby. Anyway, so.
We were 90s babying it up.
I guess, yeah. So the main character of this story was 18, however, in 1994. His name was Brian Canfield. He was driving down a country road when his truck suddenly died while he was on his way to Camp 1 at the base of Mount Rainier near Lake Kapausen. I hope I'm saying all of these right. I know I'm saying Mount Rainier right, because everybody asked me if that's how I pronounce my name, and it's not. So, but Lake Kapausen. Anyway, while he was trying to figure out why his perfectly working vehicle would just die suddenly without any sort of provocation, a creature landed about 30 feet in front of the vehicle, illuminated by the headlights. Brian described the creature as being over 9 feet tall, with bluish fur, yellow eyes, a wolf-like face, tufted ears, and a large mouth full of sharp white teeth. He went on to say that the feet were bird-like and that two large wings sprouted out of its shoulder blades.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, this thing sounds absolutely terrifying.
Crazy.
I would probably crap my pants. He said the two stared at each other for a long time. And then Brian said that he didn't feel so much afraid as he did out of place. He said it kind of felt like this was happening to someone else rather than him. Ooh. Which that's kind of a common, like, fright response, is your body just kind of, like, it puts this filter on your brain that's kind of like, no, this isn't real. This, you know, especially with something so out of place like that, you know, it's just your brain kind of just tells you it's just a dream. Like, have you ever felt like that? You know, like when you were in a situation that just didn't feel right and all of a sudden you just kind of felt like maybe I'm dreaming.
Yeah,
you know, but you
yeah.
definitely weren't. So it's like, yeah, that's kind of a common fright response, or like it's your brain's way of telling you, or kind of like protecting you from the fact that you're in a situation that is very uncomfortable for you.
Yeah, like check out for a minute. Yeah,
right. So I'm assuming that's kind of what happened to Mr. Canfield. He said it was staring, or he said it was standing there staring at me, and like it was resting, like it didn't know what to think. I was scared. It raised the hair on me. I'm just reading a direct quote, so some of it's weirdly spoken. But anyway, he said, I didn't feel threatened. I just felt out of place. It's looking right at me like in a deep stare, like right through me. It's standing perfectly still. It stood for how long? A few minutes. Several minutes. Then its finger twitched and its wings began to unfold. Those wings were as wide as the road. It turned its head and looked back at me and started flapping its wings. A few minutes later, the truck just started. I took off as fast as I could.
Ooh, it sounds like Jeepers Creepers.
Ooh. Right? Ooh. Right? Oh, that movie creeped me out, by the way.
Like, I love that movie. Ooh.
In my hometown, we have somebody that drives a truck like that.
Ooh, creepy. Yeah. Beep, beep, yeah. Beep.
Like just that creepy old like black kind of covered truck looking yeah. thing. Super creepy. I remember one time in like, I was out late at night and I just saw it drive slowly by and I was like, oh my God, this is how I go.
This is how anyway. It ends.
So Canfield later returned to the site with his mother and one of his neighbors. So, you know, once again, just going back to the place where creepy stuff happens does not seem like a great idea, but at least he took reinforcements with him.
Yeah.
So he was hoping to find evidence of the creature, but they couldn't find anything. And then later that month on April 24th, an article was released in the Tacoma News Tribune about the encounter and coined the name Bat Squatch. So I'm going to show you a picture that I have that's from the news article. Now, I think it's been colored because I think it was originally in black and white and now it's like been colored like a purple color, but it's a neat picture.
Oh, I see. Ooh. Oh.
Yeah. So the Ooh, caption yeah. on the bottom says, The Bat Squatch.
The Bat
Brian
Squatch.
Canfield describes a winged creature about 9 feet tall with claws, blue-tinted fur, yellowish eyes, sharp teeth, and tufted ears.
How strange.
So
God,
that's,
could you imagine seeing that? Ooh.
No. I mean, it looks like something off the 90s cartoon Gargoyle.
It sure does.
And it's like, yeah, that was a cool cartoon. I would never want to meet one of those in real life, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be absolutely terrifying.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, so that was just like an artist's rendition of what it looked like. I thought it was kind of neat. The next sighting comes also from 1994, later that year. A mountain guide and a liquor store owner named Butch Whitaker reported an encounter with Bat Squatch.
A mountain guide and liquor store owner named Butch Whitaker. Of course his name is Butch Whitaker. What else was he going to be named? Jeez.
Whitaker claimed to have been flying a small plane to Mount Rainier when he saw the devilish humanoid flying close to the plane. Whitaker says he was able to snap pictures of the winged beast, but as is typical in paranormal stories, the photos remain unseen.
Of course.
Many people take Whitaker's claims with a grain of salt.
Of course. I would too. I mean, his name is Butch Whitaker.
Trust
Butch Whitaker?
I mean, it sounds like he has been dipping into his... you know, his store's back stock a
yes.
little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot bit.
Maybe a lot bit.
A lot bit of liquor.
Yes. A case or two.
Next sighting I have comes from April of 2009. A lot of April sightings. A man named Paul Roberts posted his tale of Bat Squatch to the Unexplained Mysteries site that was told to him by a group of hikers. So this isn't his firsthand report. This is this is a story he heard from a group of hikers and he shared it. So apparently, as the story goes, me and my friends were hiking around Mount Shasta and out of one of the crevices flew this big creature. I mean, this thing was huge. It was as tall as a man, as stocky as Hulk Hogan, and had leathery wings. So, So we've got a Hulk Hogan cryptid.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
Well, if birds are going to be real, we might as well have a Hulk Hogan cryptid.
Brother. he said, I believe the wingspan was at least 50 feet from one end to the other. I was holding up my camera, but was paralyzed with fear as this thing flew by. I didn't get a picture. Sorry. What do you think this might be? Could have been a pterodactyl. It was flying or gliding fast. It seemed to have the head of a bat. Thinking about it, it does have the head of a pterodactyl. I just saw a picture of a pterodactyl and the heads are not similar. Or no, it doesn't have the head of a pterodactyl. Sorry. So, yeah, I'm once again, this is a quote, and I'm assuming that this was just their verbatim telling of the story.
Word vomit.
Right? I would think it had the head of a bat, or maybe more like a fox. The darn thing finally flew into a clump of trees and vanished. I heard you guys might be going back to Mount Shasta. If you do, please look out for this thing. If you see it, you will crap all over yourself. I kid you not.
Oh, that's a mess.
I cleaned up the... the verbiage a little bit.
Oh man, well I guarantee you I was just up camping kind of in that area last year, and bat squatch did bat not squatch. Show up. So
well, it sounds like primarily he's up, or it's up in the Mount St. Helens area.
Ah.
But apparently it vacations down in Mount Shasta.
Got it.
I had to guess.
He's got some taste, I see.
So I'm going to do something a little different here. Like normally I just go straight from sightings into, descriptions, but since I didn't have a lot of sightings, I wanted to include some hoax sightings because I figured that would be kind of cool. Fun. In 1994, they said to date, 4 goats, 5 chickens, 2 cows, and our prized pig are unaccounted for. No humans are reported missing, but this is no measure of the never-ending toll placed on this community's pride and mental well-being. All Pioneer Day festivities were canceled last week with the recent loss of Priscilla Pig. Scheduled dancing this Saturday presumably will fall prey to this monstrous being as well. Neither Police Chief Durham nor our mayor will estimate potential long-term effects of continued attacks, but both were obviously saddened by the loss of Priscilla. So this was like apparently in the same town as the Butch Whitaker sighting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was very popular in that town.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, that's in the Mount Rainier area, which is, you know, the right area. The other hoax sighting I have comes from February 3rd of 1998. This story about a hiker's interaction with Bat Squatch is generally taken with not just a grain of salt, but like a whole like Morton's canister of salt, due to the fact that it was posted to batsquatch.com and because it didn't include a location.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they were like no names, no locations. It was just kind of like, hey, it was posted on this date. And most people just kind of assume it's like a creepypasta sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a dark and stormy night.
Of course, as it usually is.
As it should be. I had taken a fall and landed not too far from the edge of a cliff, being knocked out. I don't know how long I had laid there, perhaps 3 or 4 hours. I don't know anybody who's ever knocked out that long.
And like been come to and been like, oh, I'm normal.
I'm okay.
I can continue.
Right. Usually if you're unconscious for that long, you're not going to be in a right state of mind. But anyway,
I'm also going home.
Apparently this person's fine. So I don't know how long I'd laid there, perhaps 3 or 4 hours. My watch had been torn off by the fall along with most of my gear. I was barely conscious when I heard a loud, deep, bass-like yell from the air. The sound was accompanied by a semi-truck horn from below the cliff, which I had almost rolled off hours earlier. I gazed below, trying to focus my eyes to see clearly. My head pounded from the fall I had taken. It was impossible to realize that the next few moments would change my life forever. What I saw, I kept secret for many years, mainly because I had a good job and I didn't want to lose it. So he just thought, you know, people are going to think I'm crazy and I'm not going to lose my job over this. So
yeah,
perhaps I shouldn't have kept silent. My silence has caused the death of so many animals and put the town at risk.
Oh,
oh no, poor Priscilla Pig.
Oh no.
At risk of what? I will let you be the judge. I will not come out and let my name be known. However, I will tell you what happened that night and the following days. You can be the judge. I was able to witness a logging truck filled full of Douglas firs hit a large object in the middle of the narrow dirt logging road. I thought it was a large stump at first, but the object, upon being struck, bounced into the air, almost flying, then fell onto the into the canyon below. It was strange because I could have sworn the object was purple and had wings, but I attributed the color to my blood-stained glasses and the wings of... Sorry, that little, my blood-stained glasses. It's like, okay. Sorry, it was just a weird little addition of some
weird,
just random...
Detail.
Nope. But anyway, yeah. Random detail. Okay. And the wings, but I attributed the color to my bloodstained glasses and the wings to my inability to see very clearly at the moment. What I did see was a cloud of dust from the semi as its brakes were applied, the driver attempting desperately to miss the object in the road. At first, the truck slid headlong into the object. Then, as the truck hit the thing, it must have dazed the driver of the truck because the long semi abruptly swung left, hitting the cliff wall, then jackknifing.
Whoa.
That's terrifying for a semi-truck.
Holy cow.
Because those things, once they're out of control, it's impossible to get them back under control.
Like, just ride it out. Just go limp. And yeah, I mean, geez. You know, that must be just terrifying.
Just start praying because that's it.
All your stuff goes flying. Like, oh God.
Yep. The rear of the trailer, still sliding slowly as it swung precariously near the edge of the right side of the road, 100 feet above the steep, rocky, walled valley below. Then, as if in slow motion, the dirt road under the rear of the trailer gave way and the rig slowly started moving, falling trailer first over the edge of the road.
Yikes!
This is terrifying.
It is.
I'm more terrified for this driver and this semi going over the cliff than I am of Bat Squatch.
Bat Squatch, yeah, I know, right? Gosh, poor guy.
It was as if something had clutched the back of the trailer and pulled it over the side of the logging road.
You got one
desperately
down.
Yeah, I desperately tried to see through the cracked windshield of the semi before it too followed the rest of its trailer over the edge of the road. Always I will remember the sound of twisting metal as the truck slid down the valley cliff and crashed to the bottom. There was no explosion, no fire, just the sound of metal scraping against rock and echoing off the canyon walls. Like, I can hear that in my head, and that's a creepy sound. A few moments later, only silence and a small cloud of dust rose from the valley below me. I couldn't see where the truck ended its slide down the rocks. It had disappeared below the steep sides of the canyon. The forest was eerie, of all things a person could think of after such a terrible accident. What I remember the most is the silence of the forest. There was no wind, no sounds of birds, nothing. It was as if time had stopped. The forest had ceased to be alive. Reality finally set in. I thought of how I'm going to go down to see if the driver was still alive. No, that had to be crazy. No one could have survived such an event. I suddenly realized that I was sore and bruised everywhere. Now my reality was slowly coming back to me as I felt the wet blood on my forehead. I slowly moved my legs. Thank goodness I could still move them. I slowly tried each of my other appendages, hoping I was still in one piece from my fall. How many hours before? Judging by the sun, it appeared to be mid-afternoon. The last I could recall, it was 10:30 in the morning. After assessing I was still in one piece, I cleaned my glasses and began looking for a way to the floor of the valley. It wouldn't have been easy without a very long rope and some experience in rappelling, and I had neither. I decided the best course of action would be to hike back out and get help. I had gone only about 10 feet into the dense underbrush when I heard and felt an unusually strong gust of wind. The forest was still unusually quiet. I decided to sit still and enjoy the breeze, hoping it would give me a brief moment of refreshing before I began my hurried march to get help. As I sat in the dense brush, a large shadow came over my part of the forest. I gazed out, and as incredible as it may seem, I witnessed a large purplish beast descend onto the very spot where I, only moments earlier, had laid. It had with it another beast that was battered and not moving. So it's apparently there's multiple of Bat Squatch, and it went and rescued its friend that got hit by the truck, I guess.
Oh no. Ooh. Yeah. So they're sentient enough that they can feel.
To go help out their friends, I guess.
Oh no. And there's more. Oh no. Yeah.
To my horror, I realized that this second beast was the object the truck driver had hit on the road. My first thought was to rush up to the beast and ask if it would help me discover if the truck driver was still alive. Obviously, I had not recovered from my head wound at that time.
Excuse me. Can you help? Do you know if he's okay?
Sir or ma'am, is he okay?
Can I speak to a manager? Where is... Excuse me.
Excuse me. Fortunately, I regained my senses and decided not to go rushing up to this creature with my arms waving about.
Yeah.
Enough about me. I'm sure the reader would like to know what this creature looked like. It was purple. Yes, I know you already have guessed that from my earlier description, but when I say that it was purple, I mean it was really purple.
It was purple.
Its skin, claws, hair, nostrils, everything about this creature was purple.
Weird.
Like a bad Jimmy Osmond dream.
Purple. Just purple.
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 I have known people whom have disputed that there is such a color as purple, meaning that either purple is a shade of blue or a shade of brown. If any of them were to witness this creature, they would understand what the color of purple is. I couldn't describe it as deep purple nor a dirty purple, only a purple in its purest form. I feel like I've said purple so many times that it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Purple. Purple, 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 okay. Purple, 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 purple.
The creature stood about 15 feet high. So this one's much bigger than 9 feet. It stood about 15 feet high when it was sitting hunched over in front of me. So it was hunched over 15 feet tall.
Whoa, that's huge.
Oh my God. That's gigantic. I later discovered that this creature would measure easy 30 feet from head to bottom once it was airborne. Ugh, that's just gross how big that is. That is vomitous. I lost my place. Okay. I say bottom because it didn't really have a tail. The head of the animal was unusually small compared to its massive body. The beady purple eyes would remind anyone who has the misfortune of seeing them believe that this creature could be of the ratten family. So it's like radish, baddish, I guess. I don't know. While other characteristics of the head also had many features of the ratten family, being of noteworthy comment is the long pointed ears from which protruded from the top of the creature's head. The nose was rather small, the most pronounced feature of the nose being its unusual color of purple. Once again, it's just, we get it. It's purple.
It's purple.
We get it. Please stop reminding us. I believe that this is the only creature in the world that has a purple nose. Yes, we get it. It's purple.
Was it orange? What color was it again?
I'm starting to get a little frustrated.
Is it purple?
We get it. It's purple. The wingspan of the creature looked very small, as if it couldn't fly with such small wing surface. So
small
this
purple
is
wings.
They're purple wings, guys. So this doesn't have a 50-foot wingspan, apparently. It's got, like, really weirdly small wings.
It's a baby one.
However, I later learned once the creature was airborne, the wings extend out to form a wingspan of good 40 feet. Okay, never mind.
Well, geez. Well, read your own notes there, Sammy. Geez.
I forget, okay? I finished these notes, like, a week ago. So this is pretty much any time I'm I'm talking to you, I'm learning this all over again because I've forgotten.
It's a learning experience together.
It appeared to have 4 sets of wings. What? I don't remember that.
So
okay.
Dragonfly? Like double
four
dragonfly. 4
sets of wings.
Ooh.
4 sets of 2. So that's 8 wings.
Jeez.
That's a lot of wings.
That's a lot to manage. I feel like that's a lot. It's really cumbersome.
I don't feel like those could all fit on one creature, but whatever. Perhaps I should clarify that to mean 2 sets of claws and hands on the wings about midway and another set on the torso. I'm trying to picture that. So 8 wings that had hands on the wings.
This person is on a lot of drugs.
This person definitely fell from a cliff and hit their head really, really hard.
Yeah.
So maybe they were out for 4 hours.
I feel like I'm going to give myself a concussion just trying to picture what this person saw.
Right?
Just, it's purple. That's all you need to know is it's purple.
Yeah. The most disturbing feature of the large beast was its hands. It appeared to have 4 sets of them. Okay, yep. And they're purple, right?
They're purple.
This person really likes to reiterate themselves. They definitely suffered a head injury.
Purple.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps I should clarify that... Okay, no. I already read that. So, yeah, it had 2 sets of claws and hands on the wings about midway and another set on the torso, almost as if they were human. I didn't notice the hands near the torso until another encounter with the large animal the next day. So this person has multiple encounters. This is one heck of a head injury.
Yeah, really.
The creature was very frightening to look at and could almost be a cross between a large bat and an excessively large furry human. I believe the most accurate description would be that given by some of the local townsfolk, whom later had the misfortune of encountering the beast and naming it Bat Squatch. While perhaps I've mentioned too much, my worst fears are that I will be traced by my email address and someone would know my location, thus making me a laughingstock of my community and ending my rather prestigious position within the city. So, yeah, so this person, whatever.
And if I post a selfie on Facebook, someone will steal my bank account number.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so that's, yeah, I can understand why that is considered a hoax.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it, like, maybe this person really believes that they saw this, but if they're, you know, 100-foot fall down a cliff and subsequent being knocked out for 4 hours is true, then I could see how a head injury of that magnitude would cause them to see this kind of a creature.
I would agree. I would agree.
So maybe it's not a hoax so much as it is just a hallucination.
Agreed. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah. So, okay, finally finishing it up, we're going to go with some explanations as to what it could be. Some people just think that it's an oversized flying fox, which those are really cute and adorable, and I don't think they could be terrifying or have a 50-foot wingspan or be purple.
No, that's true. Unless you, dyed one purple, but I don't know why you would dye a flying fox purple.
Don't do that. Unless it's, well, they do have humane, like, animal coloring dyes that you can use that wash out very quickly. Anyway, another explanation is that it's an alien or it's a demon, which I like that one, you know, because it, let's say that it came up from the volcanic eruption of Mount St. Helens and, it came from the hollow earth theory that we've talked about before, that hell is in the center of the earth and the demon came up from that.
Sure.
Some people say it's a pterodactyl.
Okay.
That was, trapped under the, in like the hot climate under the volcano, which, sure. Why not?
Sure. The Cave was a great movie.
Yep. Or, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Some people say it's a crane, okay. Because as with all large bipedal flying creatures, we just have to go with a crane.
Could be a crane.
Some people say that it's Mothman. Just on the other side of the country.
On vacation.
On vacation in the Pacific Northwest. And then another cryptid that people claim that it might be is an Ahul, which is another bat-like cryptid, but this time from Indonesia.
Hmm.
So
another episode.
I might talk about the Ahul at some point.
I like it.
But yeah, so that is Bat Squatch, which is kind of a funnier one.
I love it.
I figured after last week's episode, I needed to have one that was a little bit more weird. So
we hope you guys are feeling very lighthearted and ready to go laugh with your friends, hey, what a great episode. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing.
All right. Well, thank you guys once again for listening. I don't think we mentioned it on the air before. Like, we mentioned it on our Facebook and our Twitter, but we hit 10,000 downloads recently. Yay. And we just really, really want to thank you guys. I mean, the fact that we've reached that number of downloads after just over a year is really humbling to us. We're so thankful for all of you guys and for the word of mouth of you guys, like, talking about us to your friends, and the iTunes reviews that you guys have left, which have all been so kind. And we just
love
and thank you and appreciate all of you guys. So keep being awesome, and we will keep putting out crazy, weird content for all of you guys to listen
to. Sammy will keep putting out.
Oh, my God. I mean, as I do. But
all right, guys.
Thank you again, and we will see you again on September 15th.
Yay! We're ready.
Until then, don't forget, Big Brother is watching.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiriesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.